Hello and welcome to the Cigar Cast, your weekly one-stop shop for all things cigar-related, including industry news, reviews, and everything in between. We are recording live from beautiful Brentwood, Tennessee, at Crown Cigars and Ales. And as usual, I'm one of your hosts, Trey Debman, and I'm joined by Mr. Shane Reeves.
So one of the things that fascinates me in life is watching these shows where these guys go to Africa and South America and visit these villages. And there's always a medicine man comes out and he says, oh, I see your problem. Your spirit is out of alignment. My lighter spirit is out of alignment.
Still?
I have two lighters in front of me and I'm just praying. I cut a goat before I come in here, praying that I'm going to get this lighter worked. If not, I'm going to have to go on to some sort of a lighter pilgrimage.
That explains why the sidewalk was red.
Well, there's always that, but I think we should always start the show by declaring I am ready to smoke a cigar.
You know, I text you this morning specifically to say, we are recording tonight. I need a cigar. I want a cigar. I'm looking forward to this, and I am ready to get right down to it.
Well, what are you smoking tonight?
I'm really excited about this because I have heard you talk about this Blanken cigar for the last 3 months. It's the Avo Synchro Fogata. I don't know anything about it other than you really enjoy it. I'm going with the Toro size today. Apparently, something I learned is that Fogata means campfire in Spanish. Now, considering the types of flavors that I like in a cigar, I have really high hopes for this based on that name. I'm hoping it lives up to it. I don't know if we've ever talked about it before. Mexican San Andreas binder and filler, Dominican Ligero, and Nicaraguan Ligero in the binder as well. So I'm really looking forward to getting a hold of this. I think it was last week I was going to smoke it, but you had picked up the Synchro Nicaragua, so I decided to hold it off one. Although I did think about getting another Las Calaveras.
Well, so that cigar, I will soon be on my second box of those particular cigars. That size, you have the Toro. I like the size up from that, the 6x60. But I always like a little larger ring gauge cigar than you do.
Mm-hmm.
But the flavor, you'll find is really rich. There's not a lot of spice, not a lot of pepper, just kind of a real rich, just a rich flavor. Kind of what Avo is known for. To me, that just feels like Avo. Where they don't have to, it's not like, you know, what comes out of the Don Pepin factory is great. For what it is. You know, it's supposed to be that spicy cigar, and what comes out of LFD factory is supposed to be that strong cigar.
Mm-hmm.
The Avo is supposed to be more complex, a little softer type smoke.
Yeah, and just drawing it dry, I definitely get what you're talking about. I don't have the pepper hit me in the mouth the second I put it on my lips. I don't have any of that immediate strength that I typically get out of the cigars that I smoke. Yeah, for some reason, those words coming out of my mouth didn't seem like they were real. So I'm about to get it lit up. Why don't you tell me, it looks like it's an Avo double feature tonight. Is that right?
I believe it is. Tonight, I'm smoking my post-ribeye cigar. If I have a ribeye, I'm going to smoke an Avo Heritage afterwards. Something about the ribeye flavor and that comes in. Now, I did not have a ribeye tonight, but I'm still going to have a Heritage.
But you can at least celebrate the fact that one of your lighters works.
Well, it worked in your hands.
Okay.
This has been the stories of my life. But the Heritage, great cigar, always been one of my favorites, medium full-bodied. The wrapper is Ecuadorian sun-grown, so it's kind of a hybrid wrapper, a little different. You see a lot of Nicaraguan sun-grown, a lot of Dominican sun-grown. You don't see as much Ecuadorian sun-grown. The Dominican Cuban seed, so that means the Ligero in it is Cuban seed grown in the Dominican Republic. And the other filler is Seco Peruvian.
Hmm.
So a lot of different... This is one of those hidden gems. This is a cigar, like we've spoke about, that a lot of people walk right past in their humidor.
You know, I've got to say, that is, in my opinion, the best cigar that Avo makes and the second best cigar they've ever made.
Yeah, I mean, just absolutely a wonderful smoke, a staple. And I know when I cut this in a moment, when I light this, I know exactly what to expect, and I know it's going to be just as good as the last one I smoked.
And affordable. I mean, at sub 11 bucks, it's really not that bad for the amazing quality of a cigar that it is.
Yeah, and it's that size. It's that 6x60 size that I really enjoy. I also have a box of Heritage Lanceros. And that's it's funny how the 6x60 to the Lancero, in a blind taste test, you could not tell they're both Ava.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much difference, just because you get so much more wrapper when you go Lancero.
Right.
So, tell me about your week.
My week, so... I usually a little inside baseball here. We usually sit down and talk about how our day is going and things like that while we're setting up the gear. And today I told Shane that, nope, I'm not going to tell you anything about my day because I want to save it for the podcast. Because I am in the best bad mood ever. Or it may be the worst good mood ever. So I'm leaving work. This week at work has been a lot of fun because we're doing team building week. And I know those things are a little kitschy, and not everyone gets on board with the sort of fake enthusiasm and whatnot, but my team really gets into it. We're salespeople. We like anything that changes up the routine. Today's challenge was a Jenga contest. So the team or the group that could build the tallest tower of Jenga without it falling over won. Now, there was no prize or anything, just bragging rights, but we... you go in, just try and see what you can do. Well, now, I'm in sales, right? I'm a little competitive. And so because there was no prize or anything, if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Win if you can, lose if you must, but always cheat, as the great Jesse Ventura used to say.
So I get my team in there, and they're starting to play with the Jenga. And I said, no. No. Here's how we're going to do this. I said, knock it down. And so, rather than play Jenga, we just started with a blank slate and built it strategically as though it looked as if we had played it. And we knew that the team ahead of us had made it 34 levels high. And so, we knew exactly we had to get 35 to win. So, we built it slowly and carefully to look like we'd played the game all the way until we got 35 levels. We ended up winning the competition.
And for your efforts, you want a free pair of floor shine shoes.
I mean, we got bragging rights, that's all. But for the purpose of what it was intended to do, for team building's sake, there's very little in this world that'll build a team mentality more than cheating together. I think we got more out of winning in that way than we would have if we'd actually done it honestly.
You're the worst. So, how is Belichick's book? I mean, obviously, that's what you've been reading. How is his book?
Underrated. But what really kind of turned it around, and this is why it applies to you, is so then I'm in a good mood. I decide I'm going to cut out of work a little bit early, which I got there early and shorted my lunch so that I could, because I wanted to get a run in before, because I don't know if you've seen, I'm finally ahead of you on Fitbit right now.
I have not seen this.
As of last night, I was ahead of you by like 9,000 steps.
Oh.
So I typically don't run on days when we record, but I was like, screw it. I'm going to leave work a little bit early. I'm going to go get my run in. But on my way, I get to the park. I mean, I'm wearing my shorts under my jeans so that I could just get out and go. Get to the park, pull in, reach into my gym bag to grab my shoes, and they weren't there. And the string of expletives that I unleashed on nobody would make a sailor blush. But so I'm really bummed because I've officially crossed over into that addiction standpoint when it comes to exercise, is that now all I can think about is the fact that I wasn't able to run, and I'm just itchy about it.
Well, you know, I never get to the addiction part of exercise. I always tell people 8 months. 8 months is how long it took me to go from I've got to get up and go to the gym to I get to get up and go to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
8 months of hard work, 8 months of not wanting to go, but now I couldn't imagine starting my day any other way.
Right.
You know, Saturday I'm going to be helping my sister-in-law move, and I've got to get up and go to the gym, or else I'm going to be walking and carrying boxes the rest of the day, I've still got to get up and go get my gym time in.
Yeah. And see, and that's it for me is I go to the gym for me is going to the Greenway and getting a run in. But I go after work. It's 90 degrees here, which I think you've either got cold weather people or warm weather people when it comes to exercising. I love the heat. I would much rather work out in the heat than the cold. So I'm just in heaven. I get out after work and I'm just out there in the heat and working at it. So for me, this is that time of day where normally that's where I would be doing. So,
well, now also I have to offer heartfelt congratulations to my wife. She won poker last night.
Oh, that's excellent.
Here at the shop, she came from behind and she beat, there was 10 of us playing and she beat 9 guys and won the game. So, pretty amazing. Almost a year ago, she didn't know how to play poker.
Oh, wow.
Barely knew how to spell it. And now she regularly wins, you know, second or third. And numerous times, she's won first.
Yeah. How did you do?
I think I was fifth or sixth. I couldn't. Every time I drew a hand, somebody else drew a hand. And I ended up splitting a pot. And I would like to go on record. I'd rather lose than split the pot.
Absolutely.
Splitting the pot just for me ruins the experience. I either want to win or lose.
It's the poker equivalent of not being able to see something through to the finish.
So every time I look over at you and I see that shirt you're wearing, I think of Foundation Cigars. Because you have their logo on your shirt.
That is remarkably similar, isn't it?
I mean, now granted, the tree with the roots and all that is kind of, you know, universal logo. But I always keep thinking back to Foundation Cigars, and I have to stop the show for a second and say something. Yes, Austin, I've seen your Facebook. I know you are currently sitting and smoking the La Flor Dominica Volcata, and I will get you for this. I just think he should know.
Because that he's on your list?
He's on the list because he's having a Volcata. He can get off the list by bringing me a sun-grown undercrown and a Volcata back.
So, of course, that leads us to, as if you follow anything with the industry at all other than our podcast, you probably know that it's IPCPR, and we've been talking about it for the last few weeks leading up to it. Austin, that runs a shop here that we're recording from, is, of course, there in Las Vegas this week, and we're starting to see some of the new releases for the year and some of the things that people are bringing out. And if we're going to talk about it leading up to what we're expecting, obviously there's going to be some news. Let's talk about a little bit. One of the things I know that you're probably really excited about, Shane, is that the Florida Sun Grown is now going to be released nationwide.
Well, I'm proud to say I was one of the first people to ever smoke the Florida Sun Grown cigar. I made a special trip to Orlando to the Barn Smoker because I wanted to be in that group of 200 people that were the first to smoke a cigar made in America made using American tobacco. Still made in Nicaragua, but they used Florida sun-grown tobacco. Quick story on the Florida sun-grown is the man that owns Corona Cigars in Orlando had a large farm, and he wanted to grow tobacco for his own cigars. So he partnered with Dura Estates. Now, they only produce about 5,000 pounds of tobacco a year. So undoubtedly, before they go national, they must have expanded that. Because, for instance, the Kentucky Fire Cured Barn Smoker that we go to, the national release of the Kentucky Fire Cured, I think is like 600,000 pounds of tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of tobacco from the standpoint of half of a leaf in a Kentucky Fire Cured cigar is all that will ever be in there.
Right.
If you just took fire-cured tobacco and rolled it into a cigar, it would choke you to death. There's no way you can smoke that cigar.
You can make it into a cheroot.
More about that later. I had another cheroot encounter. But anyway, so they're going to release the Florida Sun Grown. Pick one up. They're wonderful. I bought a box when I was down there. I've got one or two left because I've been hoarding them for special occasion cigars. And they're absolutely wonderful, real medium, real smooth. They don't have the fire-cured tobacco, even though the Barn Smoker kind of makes you think they would be like the KFC, but they don't. But used to, we grew a lot of tobacco in America for cigars. Well, the process is so labor-intensive, when labor laws came into being, it killed the cigar tobacco industry in America. So everybody started going to Nicaragua because it's so labor-intensive to prune and to properly grow cigar tobacco, they couldn't afford to pay people and sell cigars. So that's why most of our cigars come from Nicaragua. But Jeff down there at Corona made the commitment, I want to produce an American cigar, and he really has, and he's really done an outstanding job. So that was my most exciting thing I heard this week.
Yeah, that was something that I know you've shared with one of those cigars with me. And I don't know, I like the idea that there's a component of, I mean, as the considering that the U.S. is the number one consumer of cigars in the world, it's kind of nice that there's someone out there that's trying to bring a little bit of the American soil back into it.
Well, and that brings me to something I do want to talk about. Do you think that America consumes the most cigars because of an economic standpoint, because we do well in America? Or do you think it's because we can actually sit and because we value leisure? I've noticed a lot of other cultures just don't value leisure.
See, I disagree. I think our culture probably values leisure less than just about anybody else, except maybe the Japanese or the Germans. But, you know, I think it has to do with how much it's ingrained in our culture. I think if you just go back historically, there's a certain amount of cigars, the Wild West of the guys sitting around. I think there's something pseudo-nostalgic about it for us. I think also the fact that the U.S. used to grow so much tobacco that it started here. You know, it was always, whereas there wasn't a whole lot of tobacco being grown in Europe, if any, really. And so I think that probably has a lot to do with it as well.
Well, and tobacco really does kind of take that equatorial style heat. You really got to get to South America and South North America if you're going to grow tobacco. And a lot of Europe's just too much cloud cover. They can grow a good Connecticut, but they're not going to produce a good cigar tobacco without the sun.
Well, and that's, you know, when the U.S. or when America was first being settled, you know, tobacco was one of the things that was learned by the indigenous, or that was learned from the indigenous people once we got here. And so I think there's a certain level of it being a truly North American and South American crop that lends itself to us being such consumers.
Well, and I do think Americans embrace joy more than a lot of other cultures. I don't think they're, you know, we tend not to be tied down by so many religious rules or so many, you know, mores and things like that, despite what politicians would like to get us tied down with.
And despite the region of the country that we're currently recording in.
Yeah. I mean, even here in the Bible Belt, your people that really understand religion understand forgiveness better than judgment. And people that spend time trying to use guilt as a motivator just don't last long. It's just not ever going to work that way. But, sorry, I got to sidetrack. But I really wanted to explore that with you because I was curious what your thoughts were.
So, I think it's... Sorry, my iPad just glitched. Now I don't have what I was about to talk about.
Well, tell me about the Fagata. How's your first impression? You're about an inch in. Tell me how it works.
There's a little bit of a bite in the back of my tongue that I'm getting right now. That could be because of how fast I'm smoking it, because of how much I'm enjoying it. I'm getting mostly, you know, like I mentioned, it stands for campfire, and I'm really getting that woody, oaky, earthy flavor out of it. And I don't have a full review just yet, but I'm enjoying the heck out of it. This, it's not as good as a Heritage, but it is a fantastic cigar.
I've really enjoyed them. I enjoy the Nicaraguan, which Avo Camacho, to come out of the Davidoff factory, are doing so well. And as you know, I'm not a Davidoff fan. There's nothing Davidoff makes that I'm ready to jump on as far as my regular routine.
Well, speaking of things that Davidoff touches to jump onto, I know you saw this R&R cigar out of Tuscaloosa. Posted to their Facebook page something that they saw at the show today that I just think is hilarious.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Well, Reagan down there, I'm giving you the opportunity to find that. Reagan down there at R&R is a really good dude. I've been down there at R&R, and we'll actually do a podcast at some point with Reagan. Really a good guy. He actually gave me my first CAO conciliary. It was after the show last year, and he had one, and he made sure I got it to take home with me. We were down there for their anniversary for casino night. And just absolutely a great dude, and he's at the show. So go ahead.
So it sparked a little bit of controversy when we arrived at the shop today. So it's an ST DuPont humidor that includes, and I'm just going to read his post because I think it sums it up great. ST DuPont humidor includes 72 Oro Blanco cigars, $500 each MSRP. But wait, there's more. You also get the lighter and cutter, solid gold, by the way. But wait, if you order today, I'll even double the cigars provided. This can all be yours for the very low, low, low price of $145,000. Now, I have to say, it's a beautiful humidor. Of course, if ST DuPont designed it, you know it's going to be beautiful. It's got kind of a tan, almost alligator leather looking front. It's a cabinet, probably about 3 feet tall. The cutter and lighter, it's a line two, and I don't remember what they call that cutter, but there looks like something you would find in Mayan ruins. Beautiful, but $145,000.
I hope at the end of my life, if I add up all the cigars I've ever smoked, I'm still not near $145,000. I hope that I'm somewhere under that.
See, I'm hoping to get to the million mark.
Oh, you want to hit the million cigar?
I want to smoke so many cigars towards the end of my life that I'm just relaxed, enjoying myself so much that I'm just smoking $100 bills.
Well, I wish you the best of luck in those endeavors.
But it's not my taste, this humidor, but I just find that, you know, that was kind of the controversy. As I originally said, if I had $5 million laying around, I wouldn't have any issue with spending $150,000 on this. Looking at it a little closer, it's not really my style or my taste, but I do love the design. If you're out there, Google this thing. I don't know what the name of it is, but I'm sure if you Google ST DuPont $150,000 humidor, you'll probably find it. It's really, really well made in a bastion of craftsmanship.
Well, and most of the ST DuPont stuff is. The ST DuPont, you know, we've spoke about it before, it's the Cadillac of lighters. And to know that they're doing that in the cutter, and someday I do want to upgrade my cutter to an ST DuPont because I want to just see if it still is cleaner than the Calibri or the Zycart.
I don't know if it's... I would say, because I've had the opportunity to use one a lot, and it's probably the best-made cutter on the market. Now, you definitely pay for it, but I think it's just tremendously well-made. That being said, with the new Calibri S-Cut that I've talked about, I think the action on it is not quite as smooth, but I think the cut is every bit as good.
Well, we're going to step away for a minute and take a quick break. When we come back, bought my first box of Crown Heads, as those that follow us on Facebook know. Want to talk to you about that. Want to talk about a few more show things going on. Talk about the coverage of the show. How that Drew Estates booth at the show. We got a lot still left to talk about.
All right. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back after this. Trey here for this week's Cigar Etiquette Tip of the Week. Remember that a cigar shop is an ecosystem. If you're sitting around and there are a lot of people or a lot of groups around you that are all having conversations, make sure that the conversation you're having can't be heard over theirs. Also, if you find yourself in a cigar shop that is not populated entirely by sailors, try not to use the vocabulary of one.
And welcome back to the Cigar Cast. This is Shane Reeves, one of your hosts, sitting here with Trey Dedman.
Welcome back, everybody.
This heritage is everything it's always been. It's consistent. It's wonderful. Full flavor. Feel it all the way across the roof of my mouth, on the side of my tongue. Just the Avo heritage, if you've not had one, you owe it to yourself.
Does it make you want to go have a ribeye after this?
It does kind of lead me in that direction.
It's kind of Pavlovian at this point, huh?
But the ribeye that I like to have, I have to grill myself, because I like to cook it a certain way myself and top it with a little garlic butter maybe a little lobster on the side, you know, a few things like that,
mm-hmm.
which is a lot of preparation to smoke a cigar.
You know, I know this is a cigar cast, but we often talk about stuff that's not cigar related. I had lobster for the first time this weekend. I don't get it.
What don't you get about lobster? Lobster's wonderful.
It's awful.
Lobster is amazing.
It has no flavor. It's chewy. It's tough. I don't get it.
Where did you have lobster?
At a really, really nice restaurant in downtown Manhattan.
Well, one of my favorite things is to do, I do my lobster tails, and you don't, here's the thing, you don't have to spend a ton of money for lobster. Kroger has lobster tails for $5 each. And I split them open, stuff them with butter, wrap them up in aluminum foil, and throw them on the grill for 10 minutes, and they're good to go.
Mm-hmm.
And also, one night, you're going to have to come to the house for real lobster and ribeye, because...
All right, I'll let you try and change my mind on this.
But now, speaking of that, do you ever wonder how hungry the first guy that ate a lobster was?
Had to be starving.
Because that's the least appealing, wonderful food in the world. There's no way that they just, you see a lobster and say, yeah, that looks good.
Well, see, that's how I've always felt about shellfish in general. I am about to give, well, I think I already technically did. Anybody who knows me knows that for the last 2 decades of my life, I've been telling people that I was allergic to shellfish because I just don't like it. Because you tell people you don't like lobster, you don't like shrimp, you don't like crawfish. Everyone thinks you're insane. No, the stuff's disgusting. It's insects. For some reason, that's okay. But I was at a wedding in New York, and one of the two salad choices, this was the least objectionable. And I was like, all right, you know what? I've actually never had lobster, so I'll try this. Yeah, I'm going to go back to telling people, anybody that I've told in the past that I'm allergic to shellfish, I'm sorry, I lied to you, but I'm going to keep that ruse going because I don't get it.
Well, you know, the country club we used to belong to out there at Graymere, we had this chef that made the most amazing crab bisque you've ever tasted. Dad and I would be sure that days that we knew he was making crab bisque, we took off early and went and played golf. I'm projecting an image here of maybe a little higher lifestyle than I live. Well, at the country club, they were serving crab bisque. But I love a bisque, a lobster bisque, a crab bisque. I like shrimp. I like seafood. And it don't bother me. If a cockroach tasted like ribeye, I would have no trouble eating cockroaches. It just doesn't bother me.
Now, that being said, I actually have recently eaten crickets. And I can say, okay, like, not all insects are bad, but I still just don't get the shellfish thing.
Well, in lobster, there is a huge element of lobster in how you prepare it.
Mm-hmm.
That is a big portion of how that all comes together. And all this is a modern thing. So where we're sitting today in the cigar shop is somewhere different than we usually sit.
It was a full house when we came in today. I'm not used to that. That's awesome.
A lot of guys here, and I think we came in a little earlier than usual, and there was a lot of guys wrapping their work day up mm-hmm. here. There's a lot of guys that just come work here and all, but it's interesting to see the Uber drivers pull up. You can actually see the Ubers now more clearly than ever.
And they're just sort of looking around, wondering.
And all, which that's always been my dream, jump in a car, take me to a cigar shop.
I've got to say, you know, I could talk about it forever, but I was in New York this week, this past weekend. And it's my first time in New York as an adult. And I've got to say, I really enjoyed it. Most of the time was spent talking or spending time with family and doing wedding related stuff. There was a rehearsal dinner, so to speak. It was a family out of town dinner, but it was basically what in most wedding weekends you would consider the rehearsal dinner the night before. And then we had, you know, the stuff going on before the wedding on Saturday. So we didn't get out and explore just a whole lot, but there's something about walkability that just makes me so happy about being able to, like you said, just walk down to the street, hold your hand up, and there's a car waiting for you, take you wherever you want to go, as long as it's not a cigar shop, because they don't have any of those anymore.
that's criminal. But, you know, we really, here in Nashville, have a thriving cigar industry.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, actually, on Cigar Aficionado, they featured one of our lounges, Priming Cigar Bar Lounge in Nashville.
You know, I've still never been over there. Pretty much everybody I know has, but I haven't made it over that way yet.
We're going to have to take and do a cigar cast tour one day.
Mm-hmm.
And just set up, and all of us, we need to go to the new Casa de Monte... it's not Monte Cristo. Is it Casa de Monte Cristo they just opened in Nashville?
Yeah, I think so.
Because it's there in the Gulch, and it's right next to Peg Leg Porker, which is some of the greatest barbecue in the world.
Yeah, I think we can make a whole day of that.
Yeah, I think we need to just go. We need to start the morning over at Biscuit Love
there
for breakfast. Last time that a friend of mine was in Biscuit Love, Trisha Yearwood was actually there recording her cooking show.
Oh, wow.
And then we, of course, for lunch, we'll hit Peg Leg Porker, and in the evening, we got to go to Demos. And in between there, have a cigar
there
at each stop. I think that could be a full-day tour of Nashville that could leave us richer for having done it.
That sounds like something we definitely need to put on the docket here soon. That sounds like a lot of fun.
But it's nice that a national magazine is recognizing Nashville for... And, you know, in Priming's, it's a freestanding two-story corner building south of Broadway. And it's just a... Everything I read about it says it's somewhere I need to go.
Well, the thing I love about what's happening in Nashville right now, especially as it relates to cigar shops, is that you've got a lot of cigar shops in town. I think that we're up over a dozen now, but each of them offers something different. You know, you've got cigars like this shop, even though it's on its third or fourth owner, is now 10 years in existence in this location as a cigar shop. And you've got a new one that opened up down the road a couple of years ago. You've got the Casa Monte Cristo. You've got, downtown, you've got Blend and Primings. You've got all these new guys that are coming in, but you've still got Uptowns and Green Hills. All of these established shops are still able to do the same business they've always done. And then you've got one of my favorite shops in town is Smoker's Abbey over in East Nashville. You get the hipster crowd over there, and then you get the mid-afternoon work crowd here at Crown. It's really exciting to see how well the town is embracing this culture.
It's interesting that, and I think it has to do with the temperature in Nashville. I mean, yes, it's been hot and humid for about 2 weeks here, but tonight when the sun goes down, when we're done with the podcast, in all likelihood, you and I'll sit outside to just have a cigar and talk about life.
Yeah.
And I think there's a huge portion of that goes into what makes Nashville kind of a great cigar town.
I think so, especially how outdoorsy this town is. And every restaurant has a patio. And there's always, you know, festivals outside, and it's still smoker-friendly to a certain extent in that I can go to Brewfest downtown and walk around smoking a cigar, and I can go do all these activities, and it's usually nice enough outside. Like, we had a really mild winter this year. We didn't get but maybe 2 snow days, and even outside of that, it was above 60 for the better part of January and February.
Well, and we have a lot in the construction industry, we call them halfbacks. We have a lot of people that lived up north their whole life and they moved down to Florida and they moved back to Tennessee because they want to come halfway back. They want to have 4 seasons. They want to feel the full range of temperatures. They don't want to live in Florida all the time, but they don't want to go all the way back up north where rivers freeze.
Right. And that's, you know, we've got even with as mild a winter as we had, I was expecting us to get our faces melted off this summer, and it really hasn't. It still cools down considerably at night, and here we're halfway through July at this point.
And I will say, culturally, and when I am somewhere public smoking a cigar, it's 10-1 people that come up to me and, oh, I just love the smell of a cigar,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to anybody who ever gives me the sniff and the look.
Yeah, absolutely.
And 10-1 may be a light estimate on that. Now, coming back IPCPR this year, the coverage on it, I don't know if the show is not good or the coverage is just not good.
So it's hard for me to say as a consumer from the outside looking in, because of all the accounts I've heard of the show, what people were expecting going in versus years past, The rumor going into it was that it was not going to live up to the hype of years past. And the coverage that I've seen so far is kind of telling that story. Now, that's not to underplay anybody who's doing something really unique. I do want to talk about something that Calibri released here in a minute that's got me really excited. So there, and then the, was it the Volcado?
Yeah, the La Flor Dominica Volcado.
So there are some people out there pushing the envelope, doing some interesting things. But it seems to be more the exception than the rule, whereas in years past, the rule has been exciting, new, and different, kind of like the Detroit Auto Show. You know, the Detroit Auto Show is usually full of concept cars and things that will never hit the floor, never actually, you know, hit the city streets, but they get you excited about it. And there doesn't seem to be just a whole lot out there, any one-offs or short batches that are just really making me excited like I've heard about in years past.
Well, and I will say, I believe this is a function of something I grumbled about 3 weeks ago, them not having a day that the public gets to come into the show. Because if I am a retailer, they put me in charge of Drew Estate or in charge of Avo Cigars, I want customers to come in for one day. I would much rather see customers come in on a Saturday, Sunday, and then have the dealers come in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, because then I can say, customers came in, they absolutely loved this cigar, they responded well to this packaging, they didn't respond so much to this.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it goes even a step further. How much more power do, from a retail standpoint, inside your local brick and mortar shop, if three regular customers go up to the owner and say, I had this at IPCPR and I absolutely loved it, I think you should bring it in, versus people who maybe didn't go or don't even know what IPCPR is, and then the owner of the shop brings a new cigar and starts pushing it on everybody.
Right.
You're as a retailer, you're better off if the consumer drives the selection. As a manufacturer, you're better off because it's going to move faster. I mean, it just seems like, from a business standpoint, it does make more sense. Again, as devil's advocate, as I played 3 weeks ago or so, I think there may be some legal reasons why we're in this shape that we're in, but I could be wrong.
Like I said, we're holding it in Vegas. If there's one thing we excel at in Vegas, it's getting around the law. I mean, so I don't accept any excuses other than pure old laziness for them not to do it. You know, and it happens. A cigar shop that I visited regularly one year went to the show, and they came back with all of this craft cigar stuff, all of these things from little boutique cigar vendors and all that, and filled the humidor full of that stuff, and it didn't sell because they ignored the big brands. There's still a lot of people. The big brands are the big brands for a reason. They're not the man in evil. They're still producing a quality product. And that's a case where the owner of that particular shop, who no longer owns a shop, had fell way out of touch with his customer.
Right.
And also, I see you have an accessory in front of you. Lay it on me.
Of course I do. So, I want to start by laying the groundwork. About 2 years ago, when I was still working for Calibri, they collaborated with Daniel Marshall to make a humidor called the Quasar Humidor. Or this was 14, I'm sorry. And beautiful desktop humidor, held about 100 cigars or so, retailed for $2,000. So not cheap, by any, still cheaper than the SD DuPont we talked about earlier, but just a beautiful geometrically designed humidor. Well, they announced this year that they've extended the Quasar design to a desktop cutter. Now, similar to the SV cut that I talked about last week, this combines the best of both worlds in both the V-cut and a straight cut. It's a little sort of geodesic cube is the only way I can think to describe the shape of this thing. It's a desktop cube, and you press on the lid, and it's got a little trigger release that spring loads up. One side of the cube is the straight cut. The other side is a V-cut. It's the same as both of the designs. It looks like the SV cut if you just took a little drag tool and just... But the thing is really, really beautiful. Now, if you happen to be one of those people that spent $2,000 on the desktop humidor, this is the perfect match. I haven't seen anything about MSRP, but I'm imagining it in about the $125 to $150 range, which for a cutter is pretty high, but the thing's gorgeous.
Well, a good cutter, if you can keep up with it, you know, more cutters are lost than are ever actually damaged.
Mm-hmm.
I can honestly say I've never wore a cutter out, and I have 24 cutters.
The only time I have is those cheap little plastic ones.
Yeah, and I got away from them pretty quick in the infancy of my cigar, because it's like, okay, why in the world would I take a $14 cigar and cut it with a 75-cent cutter?
It's like why would you buy a parachute used? You know, why are you going to trust something important to something really cheap? I will say I pretty much have gotten away from those in my everyday life, but I do keep one of those cutters in my golf bag and I keep one in my car because you never know when you're going to walk out of the house and go, ah, crap.
Right. You know, just need to break glass. Now here at the shop, I have a locker and I keep a cutter and a lighter in the locker just for this occasion. And actually the one I keep is a straight cut, and it's that serrated straight cut. It's the Lotus with the serrated blade.
I think tonight may have been the first time I've ever used that cutter, because this was one of those times where I walked out of the house today without my cutter and lighter. I don't know how I did that.
But speaking about the cost of cigar versus the cost of cutter, I think we need to talk about a cigar under $8.
Let's do it.
So this week's cigar under $8, I really want to talk about a cigar that you've got to get quick. If you're going to get it, it's from Sam Lucia. It was made by General Cigars. It's called the Luchador. And it is a Mexican San Andreas wrapper with an Ecuadorian Habano binder, Pennsylvanian Lajero filler, and Honduran and Nicaraguan Lajero fillers all in it. So there's a lot of nationality in this. And they have them, they have the El Hombre, they have the Frog Splash, they have the Chin Music, they have the El Gringo. And these are all the names of the different sizes of that cigar.
And this was a cigar that I remember when it came out, I had to look high and low for this cigar. It was impossible to find once when it first came out. And it still is really hard to find, but it's worth the effort to seek it out.
Well, and Sam Lucia has left General and gone into his own label. So there will probably be no more Luchadors. But if you like the Luchador, you tend to be able to follow Sam Lucia and get his blends.
Mm-hmm.
And he does kind of share a palate with me. My palate really lends itself well to this. All of them are under $8. All of them are excellent cigars. The Frog Splash is my favorite. And it's a 70 by 4 box press.
It is the most interesting shaped cigar I think I've ever seen. And I've tried to smoke a couple of them, and it does not suit me at all. But the flavor that you get out of that cigar is very, very interesting considering the shape and size.
Yeah, the shape of that cigar really makes that cigar. And if you want to be more contemporary, you know, the Hombre and the Chin Music. Chin Music is the Toro size. The Hombre, the Gringo, gets into more your Churchill-style sizes.
And the Frog Splash has a torpedo tip as well, if I recall, right?
No, Frog Splash doesn't have the torpedo tip. They have a pyramid.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
That has that more tapered flavor. And I think that one may be the Gringo.
Oh, okay. Because that one's a big ring gauge, too. It's 60 or better, isn't it?
Yeah. And I do like a pyramid. You know, the Padron Pyramid, one of my favorite
absolutely.
Cigars. The pyramid in the 505 Nicaraguan I really like.
Oh, yeah.
And I have a friend here at the shop that plays poker with us, and I got him addicted to the 505s, and now the next thing I got to do is move him on over into the other Nicaraguan tobaccos.
Well, and just get him off of that so that we've got some left to smoke.
Yeah, I assume he's going to keep more in the humidor, but I always, self-serving, I know, as poker commissioner, when guys come in and they say, oh yeah, I want to play poker tonight, what should I get? I'll always point them on something I want Austin to order more of.
Right, or something I just want to smoke.
Yeah, something that I would like to win.
Because at that point in the night, there's still a chance that I could win.
Yeah. So, but the cigar under eight this week, go find the Luchador. It has a Luchador mask on it. It actually has, okay, this is a little wrestling geeky. It has the Rey Mysterio-shaped Luchador mask. I don't know how much you know about Mexican Lucha Libre wrestling.
Very little to none at all.
The mask in Lucha Libre is very important because in the Mayan times, carrying the head of your enemy was what they did. You know, when they finished an enemy, they would actually decapitate him. So how that translated into Mexican Lucha Libre was the mask. And one of the worst things that could happen to a luchador is for him to lose his mask. Now, there's been numerous great Mexican wrestlers who lost their masks and went on to have great careers. But these masks are passed down from generation. Rey Mysterio Jr., who's the king of Lucha Libre, actually got his mask from his grandfather, Rey Mysterio. Well, his grandfather would not let him wear that style of mask till he became an accomplished enough wrestler to have earned it. He had to earn the Rey Mysterio name.
Oh, wow.
And Rey Mysterio, King of Mystery. But the mask is such a huge portion of Lucha Libre. You have Mil Mascaras, the man who never wore the same mask. You have all of these different masked wrestlers. So seeing the mask on the cigar really speaks to me.
That's right. Because I know you are a huge wrestling fan and almost historian to a certain extent. Have there been many of the Lucha Libre guys that have made it into mainstream wrestling here in the States, or are they keep pretty well separate?
Well, Rey Mysterio is the most famous to ever make it.
Certainly.
And he's most famous for being the world champion. Eddie Guerrero, good example of a man that lost his mask and still went on to great famous, you know, great fame, great fortune. The Guerrero family is just unbelievable. In the late 90s, there was a huge influx of Lucha Libre talent into America.
It's about the same time that their music became top of our charts as well. It was kind of a Latin infusion across pop culture in general at that time.
Yeah, it's interesting the way it also kind of comes boom. And goes. Yeah, kind of when the cigar boom started. And there's been some of them that have been very successful and very famous, but we're talking about they go from Mexico where they're basically, you know, Blue Demon Jr. has his own comic book. He's a national hero. When he walks up, an interesting story.
Gods Among Men.
Yeah. Mr. Wrestling was supposed to meet John F. Kennedy. Or actually, it was Mr. Wrestling 2. Was supposed to meet John F. Kennedy, and he was not allowed to because nobody wears a mask and meets the president. And he refused to meet the president because he refused to take his mask off to meet him.
Wow.
And the Secret Service would not let a masked man meet the president.
That's commitment to character.
Well, it's a heritage.
And no,
they pass those
understand.
Down, yeah. You know, Pentagon Jr., and they pass these masks and these outfits down, and it's just an unbelievable culture. If you really enjoy something like that culturally, it's a lot of fun.
Well, Shane, I think this may have been our most diverse episode ever. But I do think it's time for us to step away, enjoy what's left of our cigars, because we are getting to that point where we're starting to take bands off, and that's how I always know we're getting towards that time.
Okay, pronounce judgment on the Synchro Fogata.
I think I'd still rather have a Calaveras from this year, just because it suits my palate a little bit more, but this has, as much as you talked about how good this cigar was, I was kind of coming into it with high expectations, and it met every single one of them.
Excellent. Well, the Heritage will always be one of my top 10 cigars that I ever reach for.
Well, until next week, you can always get a hold of us by email at info@thecigarcast.com. You can go to facebook.com/thecigarcast or follow us on Instagram and Twitter @thecigarcast. And until next week, we will... That was horrible. You want to take us out, Shane?
Thanks for listening, everyone. We hope to see you next week. Enjoy a good cigar this weekend and think of us.